The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Motu raro mai kia on the rag. Hei kone ipurangi mō nā manawahine. Citizens of the nation, welcome back to On the Rag, a podcast for and about the mana of women. Ko Alex Casey aho, and I am joined, as always, in the spin-off studio by my good friends Leonie Hayden.
Kia ora tātou mā.
And Michelle A. Court.
Hello.
We're really sorry about last month. I just want to get it all out there on the table. I genuinely thought nobody would notice.
They noticed.
They noticed. Oh, my chair's just gone down. See, even the bloody studio is angry at me.
Punished.
We didn't do a podcast last month.
No, we were overwhelmed. All three of us.
A lot of life. A lot of reasons. A lot of work. A lot of illness. A lot of stuff going on, and we just couldn't manage to get it together. So I sincerely apologise for that. We should have said something, but in a way I was like, you know, it's like when you don't text someone back and you want to know how long it takes to message you.
We weren't ghosting the whole community.
We weren't ghosting.
It was just overwhelmed.
It was overwhelmed, but we're back now, and we're also shooting a lot of our web series and things like that last month, but I feel like we're sort of back on top of things.
Yeah, I think so. We're getting into a groove now.
Yeah. Good for you. Tell me what that's like.
Before we go any further, we've got to say a big shout out to the Women's Bookshop. You know, we might have ducked out on you for July, but they didn't go anywhere.
No, they were right
still there.
There
on Ponsonby Road. The best bookshop
in the world.
I'm going to say in the world. Yeah.
In the world.
Of course.
Of course.
That's the same. Has been for 30 years.
Yeah. Has been for 30 years.
And will be for another 130.
Yeah, exactly. Fingers crossed, the planet's still around.
If the planet's here, it will be here.
They are having their big 30th birthday party. It's on the 5th of August at the ASB Waterfront Theatre, and it is a literary concert extravaganza. It sounds truly incredible. We did give some tickets away already on our Facebook page, but I reckon you should go.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're thinking about
going, I want to go, but I'm going to be away. But I want everybody to go and tell me about it because it sounds amazing. Like it.
I can't remember how much tickets are right now. I'm going to look it up. But they're not very much.
They're not very much. I'm going to posit $30, but I could
be
wrong.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yes, if you're not in Auckland either, just check out the Women's Bookshop's website, www.thewomensbookshop.co.nz, and buy some books, you know?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
They've got so many books in there, they sell them. That's how that whole, that's the model for that business. And they're all good. They're curated by the fabulous Carol and her team, and there are no duds in there.
No.
Not a single
and
dud. And
they've got great selections for kids as
well. Yeah, they do. The
if you want to know that you're
gorgeous.
Going somewhere where you can find books for diverse cultures and genders and like how to tell your kids difficult stuff and just also just beautifully illustrated and written books.
And I really like it that you can go on and go, I've got a 12-year-old who's into this kind of thing. What have you? I don't have a 12-year-old, but I could say
you
that.
Could.
I've got a niece who's 12. And they go, what about this? And you go, yes, I'll have that. Thank you.
The tickets are $37.
Yay. So close.
don't know what that $7 is up to.
It's probably a booking fee. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still a bargain.
It is.
You know, for a literary concert.
Anything under $40 is a good night out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, thank you to the Women's Bookshop. We've also got a little community group called On the Rag 24/7. If you're not a member of that already, come and have a look, you know. We've cracked like 2,000 people in
that
group now.
That's amazing, yeah.
And it's a place where people just sort of share articles they've liked, experiences they've had. A lot of it I've found, which I love, it ranges from like incredibly sort of serious personal things to just someone going, does anyone else ask for 2 bags of corn chips on Air New Zealand flights?
There was an extraordinary thread.
It is.
I think it maybe in July. It was after our last podcast. So when was that? 3 years ago. when I said that I wanted to hear happy abortion stories. And there was a beautiful thread of happy abortion stories. People saying, I wouldn't have the children I have now if I hadn't had that abortion. Or I wouldn't have this career. Or I wouldn't have this relationship. Here are the good things that came out of me choosing not to be a parent at that time. And it was just so heartwarming. It was fantastic. Really cool. Mm. Yep.
It's a lovely, lovely place. If you like joining things, let me tell you about the spin-off members.
Oh, that's a segue for the ages.
My chair's going down again. I got punished.
The goddesses are in charge of that chair, aren't they?
We have launched an exciting new initiative here at the spin-off where you can sign up to support us, ranging anything from $1. Mm-hmm. To 80 or more.
Or more if you want.
If you do the $80 sign up, $80 for a year to support the spin-off members or to join the spin-off members, you're going to get the spin-off book, which features all of us.
Great. Yep.
In a big way.
That's individually and together.
And together.
Ah, amazing.
There's almost a whole On the Rag chapter in the spin-off book, looking back at the first 5 years of this here website. And you get special emails.
Get a tote bag.
You get a tote bag.
Love me a tote bag.
God, I love a tote bag. Yeah. And it's, you know what? It's got the handle on it, perfect length.
Yes,
not too taut.
It's a good length.
Not too taut. Sometimes you find it a little...
Yeah,
especially if you're wearing a coat.
Yeah, it's important.
A good tote for a coat. Spin-off members. And also, it's about supporting great journalism.
It's about supporting great journalism. And also, you get to feedback directly to us as well. So it's not a paywall. You don't get content in return. You support us, but then you also get to shape the kinds of issues that we look at and tell us if we're doing something wrong, and we'll listen to you. No one else, mind.
Don't listen to
people
anybody.
People tell us all the time that we're doing stuff wrong.
And you put your fingers in your ears and go,
but if you're a spin-off member, we will listen to you.
This is good.
This is good.
Yeah. I might have to sign up. Shall I do that?
Do it.
It's an annual thing, right?
It can be.
Yep.
It can be. You can kind of build your own adventure, really.
Yeah. Great.
If you give us $1 once, you become a spin-off member.
Great.
We want it. We want it to feel like everyone's a part of this big happy
family. God damn
it,
I'm going to do it.
And then you can do a whole bunch of surveys and stuff and tell us everything that we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And we'll have to listen.
I could just send you emails just so going, hi, how you doing? What are you wearing?
Oh, dear. All right. That was a good plug, eh, Tina? Keep it brief, she said. Keep it succinct. Coming up on this podcast, we're going to look at renaming a certain basin reserve somewhere in Wellington. Brian Tamaki is going to tell us again that we're going all to hell, and we have an important discussion about peeing in space. But let's talk about our web series first, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's good to kind of recap where we've been, where we're going. I think our last two episodes that would have gone out were Being Online and Aging, that we probably haven't had the opportunity to talk about. We had Hilary Barry.
We did, in the studio with her thighs and her amazing stories of what life is like for her on screen.
And her ass. She wobbled her ass in my face.
It was pretty special.
I didn't think that was going to happen. You can't really plan for something like
Please
that.
No, it was on improv.
Try and find the gif, if we put it online, of Hilary shaking her ass in Alex's face and then Alex pulling this really great, I'm not impressed face. Like, how dare you, Hilary Barrett? How dare you?
I didn't really know what to do in that moment.
It's not something you're prepared for, is it? Mm-mm.
Not really.
It's not really. It's not a subject that comes up in etiquette class at high school.
Yeah. What else did we talk about in aging?
I took my face to a plastic surgeon.
You did.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah. And said, what could you do with this? And she had a lot of suggestions.
She did. But they were also fairly like, you could do it or you could not.
Yeah. I walked away feeling pretty comfortable. I'm not doing any of it.
Yeah.
No, scalpels don't do it for me. I'm not up for that. But it was really interesting. And she had some great things to say about why women don't want to look like they are the age that they are and how maybe we should. I mean, my big takeaway from it was she said, you could do this and have fillers here and lift that and get some fat out of there and stick it in there. And you know what you'll look like? You'll look like you've had a really great holiday. And I thought, you know, fuck it. I think I might just have a really great holiday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Some sleep.
Yeah.
A great night's sleep. Yeah. And Leonie, you sat down with the incredible Dame.
I did. I sat down with Dame Rangi Marie Nader Glavish, a.k.a. my Auntie Nader, who is just a really great person.
Yeah, really.
And it was what we ended up showing in the episode was just a few minutes of what ended up being sort of an hour and a half of her telling me her entire life story, which I know a lot of, but there were actually details in there that were really lovely to hear because she sort of talked a lot about the way they lived when she was a child. Like, I knew where she grew up. You know, she grew up basically where she still lives on the Kaipara Harbour. But she talked a lot about how their lives were ruled by the Maramataka, the Māori lunar calendar, and how as children they knew what certain bird song meant in relation to what you were meant to plant. And when something yellow bloomed in the bush, that meant something yellow in the sea was ready to be harvested.
Wow.
So in the Pohosakawa flowers, that means you could go and get the crayfish. And like all these sort of like amazing like details that were... Like, I have talked to a lot of people about rongoā Māori and Māori medicine, but they are people who have studied it. Mm. But this is actually the first time I recall sitting down and talking to someone for whom that was just life.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it was just such a like an easy way of absorbing knowledge, and it was a really lovely place to just sit and listen to that kind of stuff.
It's a beautiful interview.
Yeah. She's so what we ended up chatting together was still really awesome, and she's very wise, and she's proud of all of her wrinkles. Yeah. She's done a lot in her life. She's been a tireless campaigner for te reo and for education and for Māori health. She's still doing it. Mm. She won't actually tell me exactly how old she is.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But she's well into her 70s. She might be in her early 80s.
Isn't that amazing?
And so we couldn't even like nail her down to sit down with me for a chat for nearly a month because that's how stacked her schedule is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway, it was really cool.
Gotta keep going. So you can watch all of that now on YouTube, on the Spinoff YouTube channel.
Not now. Stay listening to this.
Well, yeah.
But currently.
Put it in your calendar for later. On our YouTube channel, click subscribe. God, I feel like we're doing a lot of plugging. today. It's all right. It's fine. We've been away for a month. Yeah. There's a lot to do. And our next episode, fingers crossed, is going to be about abortion in New Zealand. As it seems like the law reform is sort of gaining a lot of momentum. There's a draft bill in front of the right people. And guess who's got another searing hot take on it is Mr. Brian Tamaki.
Oh my, really? Yay.
Who took to his Twitter account, which is normally just littered with pictures of kind of horses and fancy Italian leather shoes, to blame abortion on demonic forces, quote unquote, calling the medical procedure Satan's attempt to kill God in effigy and premeditated murder.
I really like the Petri dish with the little tiny plastic babies in it. Because
Medically accurate.
Yeah, so accurate. I didn't have my glasses on. I thought they were like sort of crunchy sperm. But they weren't. They were little tiny wee babies in a Petri dish, which is not actually what And I loved his idea that abortion is, what do you call it, a postmodernist feminist, I don't know. Look, we have a proud history of abortion, I think it's worth remembering, that goes back to the dawn of time. People have been, who have been pregnant and haven't wanted to be pregnant, have been finding ways to abort a fetus for thousands of years. And the only difference now is that we can do it medically and safely without risking the pregnant person's life. Mm. So, fuck you. Get some kind of understanding of history would be great, Brian.
Can I read you my favourite response to Brian Tamaki's calling it whatever pagan sacrifice? Someone calling herself Mike Pence's first wife Lilith on Twitter. replied to him, "I'm so tired of fake pagans coming to the bonfire with a doctor's note saying they had an abortion. It's low effort and honestly insulting to those of us who had to drown sturdy toddlers." We salute you, Lilith. That's just A plus 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 sarcasm there.
The lack of science and understanding. He also suggested that women who have abortions use the product of that abortion and turn it into cosmetics to make them look pretty, which is a piece of bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Harvesting fetuses conspiracy is amazing.
Yeah. What? Which is bullshit. There is one example of a couple who had a stillborn who donated the fetus to science, and a tiny piece of skin tissue was used to, which is actually how the polio vaccine was first developed.
I think they've done stem cell research as well, which is, to cure all kinds of diseases and help people walk again. And it's not like a nefarious conspiracy. It's medical science.
The framing that women are so shallow and superficial and selfish and cold as to kill unborn babies, and making rabbit ears in my in the ear, so they can look pretty, is just it tells you everything about his attitude towards a whole group of people.
Another thing that freaked me out this month is, like, because we've talked at length about Brian Tamaki on this podcast, we know his stance, we know his vibe. Something that I hadn't really known much about until a couple of weeks ago was the presence of conscientious objector doctors to abortion in this country. I interviewed a woman, Angela Ballantyne, from the University of Otago, who was part of an article that they published in the New Zealand Medical Journal this month about the harm that's being caused to pregnant people by conscientious objecting doctors, because they currently are not obliged to refer them on if they don't agree with abortion. So there's all these women getting there's all these pregnant people getting lost in the system, in a very confusing system, especially if you're rural, especially if you're in a marginalised group. And they've now got the research to suggest that it's actually kind of impinging on their process and their rights to have their abortion. And I was just really shocked by it. There's no way of knowing how many conscientious objectors there are in this country either, because it's all kind of behind closed doors.
And they're not on a register. And the thing that kills me is that they're not required to, if they say, no, I'm not going to refer you for an abortion, they are not required to then pass you on to somebody else. You've hit a wall. And if you live rurally, or if poverty is an issue, paying visits to doctors is an issue, that might be the end of your line.
Yeah. It's pretty terrifying to think about.
Yeah. I thought they had to refer you. That sucks.
It definitely sucks.
Yeah.
So they're kind of calling for the government, when, everyone's talking about abortion law reform, to also maybe consider restricting the rights of conscientious objectors, because now it's a little too broad and they can actually just go, nah, and this is the end of the line. Yeah. And there's nothing else. I also heard anecdotally there are stories of doctors who object but will say, I'll refer you on, and refer you to another doctor who they know full well
also objects.
Boo, sneaky tactics. Yeah.
It's just so cruel.
It's so cruel, and it's evil.
Yeah. It reminds, I thought the days were over. I remember in the 60s when the oral contraceptive was invented, that there were Catholic doctors who refused to prescribe it. And, that seemed outrageous then. And you kind of think, well, we're past that. But this is the same thing, still carrying on. And we didn't know about it. I had no idea about this until you told me. So, yeah.
It's wild, eh?
Yes.
But we're going to cover this at length and so much more in the next episode of On the Rag. We had Dame Margaret Sparrow.
Oh my gosh.
In the studio.
Isn't she amazing? So I love
cool.
her.
Yeah. So that's keep an eye out for that in a couple of weeks. We're very excited about it. Another positive bit of law reform that came out at the start of July was a sort of bunch of new changes to the way that sexual violence cases go through the courts and survivors' rights to kind of testify. Yeah. Give evidence via video link and a whole bunch of other things that will make the process easier and with less chance of re-victimizing.
Yeah,
great.
It's really great. So people will be able to give evidence via video link rather than being in the same room as the alleged perpetrator. And if there is a retrial, they will have recorded that evidence. So you might not, if there was another trial, you may not have to give evidence again. They will just play the video that had been recorded from an earlier trial. Mm. And also they're talking about judges being much more proactive about stopping lawyers from asking questions about the victim's sexual history. You're not allowed to know about the sexual history of the perpetrator because it may involve previous convictions or previous allegations, and that would cause a mistrial. But at the moment, you're allowed to ask the victim anything you like about her.
Well, that's
or
not
their
fair.
Not entirely, doesn't seem so. So, yeah. And
have you raped someone before? Irrelevant. Yes. But what was she wearing?
Yes. Yeah. And was she a virgin before this? So, yeah. So it's really good. And that's yay, Jan Logie and all the other people who have been working so hard on making that a better process. Because they know how many victims of sexual assault don't report because they know that the system is re-victimising.
Mm. I've actually been speaking with a woman who's been through the most drawn out, excruciating sexual assault case, like over years and years and years. And she's been telling me about all these things. So this has kind of happened in the course of me talking to her. And there were so many things that I had never even considered, that even the structures of the buildings work to make victims feel small, and that they, you know, they have to go in the same entrance. When they go through the courts and they go through security, there's a very good chance they're going to be in line with, you know, the person who hurt them.
Yeah.
And there's no other entrances. There's nothing, you know, there's like these real kind of structural things that you'd never even think about. So that was another little detail that, I'm not sure if it was in the story, but Jan Logie mentioned when she sort of did the press stand up that they're also just even going to look at simple things like redecorating the waiting rooms where the survivors kind of sit and wait to give evidence if they are going to court, and just soften it a bit. And
yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know, it feels so nice, you know?
Yeah.
Tangentially, these are the sorts of things that there are, there's one main women's urban design and planning and architecture group, but these are the sorts of things that those kinds of groups talk about, because a woman architect would have thought about that.
Yeah.
Courthouse, potential perpetrators, victims meeting together as they enter. How about we try and, you know.
Yes,
totally.
Put another lounge on the other side.
Yeah.
Do two doors.
Yeah. But it's a positive step, at least.
Good. Great.
And it's been a long time coming. Shall we talk about our cool tips of the month? Have we got anything to share that's made our lives a little easier in July?
Mine's like a long game tip. And
love
it's like kind of like lame as a tip, but I've started doing it and I feel like, oh, this is actually one of those things that is going to be cool and long. Anyway, I feel like more and more people are like SPF sunscreen every single day. That's becoming like the norm, regardless of whether you wear makeup or whatever. The sun is out here just trying to, like, ruin us and give us skin cancer and everything. Mm. So lots and lots more people I know wearing sunscreen during winter, day in, day out. And then someone the other day simply said to me, oh, and then before you've rubbed it all in, just put the excess on the back of your hands. Because your hands get all, like, fried and crinkly and wrinkly. And I was just like, oh, my God, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now I do that with, like, literally all of my skincare and my SPF.
Yes, wipe it on the back of your hands.
It's all going on the back of the hands, so they're going to stay preserved in creepy baby hands for the rest of my life.
Yeah, like a Kristen Wiig in Saturday Night Live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. It's not like a mind-blowing tip, but I was like, this could make a difference in my life at some point.
Yeah.
I am all for that.
I think it's great.
I still haven't launched into the sunblock game.
So important.
I've got an SPF.
And you're young enough. No. Go Korean. Go Korean. They have like these lovely light gels and they're like SPF 100 because they love SPF.
So I've got an SPF 20 in my moisturiser. So I'm figuring that that's got me covered for winter. In summer I do a separate sunscreen as well. Yeah. But an SPF 20 in my moisturiser should be working, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Just something.
I know. Yeah, back in my hands.
Our son is a dick.
Yeah. Our son is such a dick.
Should I tell you what I've been doing with my brain?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the point of meditation, right? So I'm a bit crazy at the moment. And the point of meditation is to stop you. Well, it's to give your brain, your mind, a rest, a little period of calm and relaxation. And you can't do a full 10-minute meditation standing in a queue at the supermarket. But I have developed my own little meditation technique where, because my brain is very noisy right now, and I just need it to shut up. So I'm using the NATO phonetic alphabet. I know. So I've always wanted to be able to look at a letter and know what the word is that they, you know, the call sign that they use.
I heard you using it on the phone the other day.
Yes. The other thing is that I'm constantly making phone calls about my mother's accounts and that what's her customer number, and I'm going, M for monkey. So now I've learnt the whole alphabet, and it just calms me down because you can't think of anything else when you're doing Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, blah, blah. And I go through the whole alphabet, which is actually quite hard because you have to remember the way the alphabet goes as well. But then if I'm just... I can hear my brain getting too noisy and thinking about things I don't want it to think about, I'll just look around the room and find things printed and tell them to myself, not necessarily out loud, in the NATO phonetic alphabet. So on the rag is, let me look at, I've written on the rag here, down here, so it is Oscar November Tango Hotel Echo Romeo Alpha Golf.
Whoa.
And while you're doing that, you can't think about anything else. It calms me down.
A military ops person now.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, that is really cool. My dad is an army guy and used to yell stuff at me and my mum and that all the time. But I don't know it. I don't know the whole thing.
It's only taken me a few days to learn it. So, and I quite like, I keep saying to my partner now, I keep going, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Which is really fun.
It's also a very good movie starring Tina Fey about military journalists.
Yeah. Ah, well, there you go.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
That is a great tip.
That's cool, because it's a good length of time and difficulty level to take you out of your brain without getting
it
distracted by something else. I love it. I'm going to do that.
Do it. Because I do donut sleep, so I wake up in the middle of the night between about 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock and then go back to sleep again. And I'm finding that I'm reducing that length of time from 2 hours to more like half an hour now because I just lie there and do the alphabet phonetically. And it calms me down.
I feel like you could tour the world. Sharing the strategy with
people. Should I turn this into a TED talk?
Yeah. I think so.
A TED talk is a Tango Echo Delta Tango Alpha Lima Kilo. There you go.
That is a phenomenal tip.
I love it.
I have nothing useful. I just have more of a observational humour, really. Which is actually because I've been watching The Project this week, and you'll know about this because you talked about it last night. There was like someone shared a video. They set up a camera of and filmed themselves sleeping.
Yes.
And it basically transpired that their cat was sleeping on their head. They thought they had breathing problems, but their cat was sleeping on their head, nose and mouth all night. And then people started sending in all their funny clips and photos of how their cats sleep. And then in the middle of the night last night, I woke up at about 3 a.m. and my cat Zelda was lying between us. And not vertically like we were. She was horizontal. So she was taking up, you know, a good half of the bed for her tiny body, but lying that way. And I was like, you know what? We always talk on this podcast and on the page and stuff about how we don't like to take up space, how we're scared, we like to shrink ourselves. Just be more like Zelda.
Yeah. Be a cat.
That's
so good advice. That's
great advice.
Cats have got life nailed, man.
They really do. And they're really good at yoga.
Yeah.
They're so flexible. That's got to be good for you as well.
Mm. Yeah. They've got the whole world organised to bring them food, and when they feel like it, they'll go and get their own.
Yeah.
They know where the neighbours are.
Unapologetic. They're naked at all times. Don't care what they wear.
But yeah, just
even if they could talk, they still wouldn't apologize for anything.
Oh God, no. Yeah,
like the non-apology is not because they're not verbal.
No,
it's because they just don't.
They're not sorry.
Want to. Yeah,
they
they're not sorry
about nothing.
Yeah.
Zelda actually once just walked in and she was kind of wearing my underpants. She loves to pull the washing down off our clothes horse thing, and she had like got herself through it via one of the legs and walked through, and it had shifted down her body so it was over just the right part of her, and she just walked in and I was like, excuse me? She didn't give a shit, you know, she's just trying out something new and I respect that.
Oh no.
Yeah, it'd just be like a cat. There was something else. There was another quite interesting thread that was posted in the On the Rag group where a woman was talking about how she's sort of realised that she doesn't really manage or know as much about the finances in her house as her male partner did. And she had sort of set herself a challenge to better educate herself and get more involved. And then it started this whole thread of people sort of challenging themselves to take on the traditional, like, male something in their household. And it got me thinking a lot about that. And I was wondering if there was anything that, like, you would want to take on or try that you don't know how to do. Because there's, like, I suddenly realised, I was like, gas bottle, get it away from me. No idea.
How to fill it or use anything. Oh, okay.
I can't even pick it up. Yeah.
It can be quite heavy.
I don't know how to put it on a barbecue, I don't know how to fill it up.
Yeah.
I've got one.
You don't really have to fill them up yourself. You take them to somewhere and they fill it up for you, or they swap you a bottle for
a
full one.
But yeah, there was just a whole list of it, and it made me feel a lot better about not knowing things, but also made me go, interesting, another woman taught herself how to chop wood, like inspired by the thread, and posted this amazing pile of wood, being like, I am Ozymandias, wood chopper extraordinaire.
Look at my kindling.
But yeah, I don't know.
There's lots of things I don't know how to do that I would like to do. And they're not, but they're not necessarily things that the man in my life knows how to do.
Yeah, same. See, I don't know how to do electrical things or mechanical things, but neither does Jeremy. So we're both hopeless. I don't know how he does his roast potatoes so well. They're always better than mine, but I can't think of anything else. So no.
I mean, my partner loves to look up car repairs on YouTube and do those himself. But 100% of his car repairs have ended in him having to take it to an actual mechanic. So I can guarantee I can do that as well as he can.
Oh my gosh,
cool though. But yeah, Mad was talking a while back about approaching different places like placemakers and things for classes just for women, but led by women on how to do stuff with your car or around the house DIY stuff. Because I think she went to one that was ostensibly meant to be that, but all they did was like paint stuff,
okay,
or something. Because it's like, this is crafts. This isn't DIY.
Do a DIY night for women, but I've never been to one.
Yeah.
So maybe that was what she went to. Maybe they were.
But I think she said that sort of they had all these like pre-cut out bird house parts that you just sort of stick together and paint. And she was like, that's not really what I came for.
That's not changing.
Yeah, I want car stuff. That's what I want. I want to know how to.
I've reached a point where I don't want to learn stuff I don't know. I'm really good at finding tradespeople who can come and do things. That's my jam. Yeah. But I also understand that that kind of terror that you have that there's something in your house like a gas bottle that is important and it's a mystery to you.
Oh, absolute mystery.
Back in a trailer. That's the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is that's like the
Justine
on my bucket
Smith
list.
Should do classes. She's really good at
saying.
It. Yeah, we should get her to do some classes.
Yeah.
Oh, we should start it on the Rag school, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a finishing school for girls, but you learn how to back a trailer and.
Yeah. Change a washer on a tap. I don't know how to change a washer,
but
karate. I know how to phone a plumber.
Karate. It's the main thing. All right, should we talk about, well, there's something that's come to the forefront of kind of national attention this month, but has not necessarily, it's not necessarily a new story by any stretch, which is the action that has been happening out at Ihumātau. And I know that, Leona, you've spent a lot of time out there. It looks to me, as someone who I'm ashamed to admit has had a real kind of, has been caught up on it this month and didn't know very much about it prior to that, but it looks like there's so many just amazing women out leading the charge, and I wondered if you wanted to about them.
Every major Māori protest action we've had so far, it's been led by women. Don't get me wrong, there's heaps of incredible tāne involved, but Pioneer Newton is sort of like the mouthpiece, I guess, for Soul, which is the organisation at the centre of it. And they've been doing this for 4 years now. So, yeah, like you say, it's not new, but it's just sort of finally come to the forefront of the news cycle. It's weird for me because it's a story, because I wrote a story about it for New Zealand Geographic 2 years ago, and that was after a couple of years of being aware of it. One of the core Soul members, Kiane Matata Sipu, was my sort of right-hand woman at Mana magazine when I worked there, and she was raised in Ihumātau and lived there her whole life. So I knew it existed, and then when the Fletchers thing happened, or actually, no, before that, when the area was rezoned as a special housing area, it became like a big deal to her, and then sort of spread out, and they were on this like amazing mission to let people know. So even 2 years after that, in 2017, I was like, surely everyone knows about this already. Like, I'm just repeating stuff that people have said already in this New Zealand Geographic story. Everyone must know about this. But, and I myself was constantly talking about it, it felt like, but then I was still coming up against people who'd never heard of it, didn't know where it was, didn't know it was a part of Auckland, let alone its amazing history, let alone the fight that they were having with the council, the government, and then Fletcher Housing after they bought the land. And so now in 2019, I'm just like, oh, finally. It's amazing how hard it is to tell, to get a story out there. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Nearly 5 years it's taken these guys who have been fighting the fight of their lives since day one, 5 years ago, for the country to actually pay attention. They have delivered countless petitions to council, to parliament. They put them in front of the last government. They put them in front of the current government. And this is what it took. And they've even said the entire time, if you all don't listen to us, if the bulldozers come, we're chaining ourselves to the land. That's going to happen. And no one took them seriously. At least no one cared. Or
I don't think anyone thought they were going to follow through.
But yeah, so Soul is... the core of Soul was made up of six cousins from Ihumātau, who whakapapa to Ihumātau, to Makaurau Marae and to Te Kawarawa Māki and Waikato Tainui. There's three mana whenua groups sort of in the area. And then the rest of Soul is supporters, it's family, it's residents, it's other activists and just supporters from all around the country who believe in what they're doing. And then they've been positioned sort of against their iwi because officially Te Kawarau Aumaki, who is mana whenua exactly there on that building spot, early on in discussions with Fletchers, they went into mitigation mode. They were like, cool, you're going to do this anyway, so we want this, this and this. Fletchers made compromises that are not compromises. They were like, we'll give you back the toe of your ancestral maunga, which also happens to be a spot that they cannot build on because it's basically all lava flow underneath. And they were like, we'll also give you this giant buffer zone as like an ecological like buffer zone between the stone reserves and the housing project. Also can't build anywhere on that buffer zone because it's kind of swampy. You know, so they are out
here
saying
that...
No sacrifice whatsoever. Mm. So the compromises that the iwi have accepted are not compromises, and they're not, you know, there was sort of also a small contingency of housing that was meant to be affordable so that mana whenua can come home and buy houses there and live there in the Papakāinga. And I'm not entirely sure, like, 800 grand, is that affordable?
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not affordable housing. No. But that's sort of like, they were like, it'll be market value or slightly less. Anyway, so it's complicated. It's been going on for a while, and it's multi-layered in its complexity because there are rifts inside of iwi. But the most impressive thing has been Pānea Newton and her supporters behind her, a lot of whom are whānau and come from there, have just kept their focus so clear. You know, it's about protecting the land. There's a lot of people out here trying to talk shit, trying to accuse them of having different agendas. And she's just been clear all the way through. She's an incredible orator.
She is, isn't she?
She's very inspiring.
She's amazing.
Like, she's always says the right thing to you know, to help buoy the mood. Because, you know, you sort of, when you're out there on the land and it's looking a bit shit and there's police everywhere and the weather hits, you actually genuinely do need someone to, like, give an inspiring speech to keep your head in the game. And she does it.
Yeah.
And she had no signs of flagging enthusiasm, but she's basically got no voice left, and she's still out there on the megaphone and in front of the microphone. Mm. Anyway, she's totally amazing, and I think she will be remembered by history.
Yeah.
You know, she's so young, and she's got heaps more work to do, and whatever that looks like, because she's also, you know, a lawyer. But for this moment, she'll be remembered in the same way that Fiona Cooper was remembered for the Land March and Eva Rickard and all of those women.
She's really young, isn't she? Or
she's
really
young.
The tone of her voice?
She's really young.
Beautiful voice. I know it's cracking, but I love, every time I hear her talk, she calms me.
Yeah.
You know, she's so solid in her understanding, knowledge, belief, and passion that you go, oh, yeah, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's really killer when you see her. So on Sunday, she did Marae on Sunday morning, the TV show, and they actually got her to sit opposite Te Wārena Tawa, who is the head of Te Kawarau Amaki, who is on the Fletcher side and wants the development to go ahead, or so he says. I know, it's very confusing. So they sort of got them together to sort of duke it out or whatever. And he, I don't know, I don't think he acquitted himself very well. He was sort of a little bit all over the place and sort of demanding to know why they weren't protesting other parts of the neighbourhood that had been built on, and like, why this and not that. And it was very accusatory and defensive. And she barely addressed anything he said that wasn't to do with the land, do you know what I mean? And so she just sort of calmly let him say his piece. And then in that lovely little teen manner of hers, she just took she always went back to the land, about protecting the land, about their legacy, about their whakapapa. And it was just so glorious seeing this amazingly self-assured, smart, well-spoken woman just deliver her message with like a flustered middle-aged man sort of accusing her of stuff and just not being able to penetrate.
Yeah.
And there's other, like, you know, Shane Jones was out here the other day sort of accusing the supporters of wearing yoga pants or whatever it was.
It was such a bizarre.
Yeah. And the, you know,
undermining.
Winston Peters has also sort of said, they've sort of got it in their heads that there's all these other people with different agendas sort of yelling their agendas into the void because they want to be on Ihumata or Whenua on Instagram. And that might be true to a point. I mean, I saw a lot of people taking selfies all week, but the message has always come through Seoul and through Pānea. They've been on message the entire time. There's literally no other agenda being pushed by a single goddamn person in the media or anywhere other than we're here to protect this land. And it's driving men crazy. Like, they can't handle the assuredness of the campaign, of the people in charge, because they're so young, they're predominantly women. And I just think these men just think there must be more to it. Like, surely you want to be a politician. Shane Jones also accused Pānea Newton of out here, like, angling for a job in politics.
Yeah.
So there must be an agenda. Because to those men, that's what leadership looks like.
Yeah. Well, that's been their agenda, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Find a cause, get a profile, get into parliament.
But really you're there for the ego, for the pay packet, for the politics. The idea that you could want to lead people because you care about the land and the people is like a bit foreign.
Yeah.
So they're just sort of looking at the pictures and the fact that The other cool thing is because they're using digital communication so effectively to mobilise supporters, that to them as well, because they're old and don't really understand social media, just looks like people taking photos.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand the tools that are actually been really effectively used to communicate a message.
And Shane Jones, I think it's fair to say, does not understand yoga pants.
No. So,
also, there's a lot he doesn't
comfortable.
Get.
They're comfortable. Great for hooning around the Whenua. You've got your gumboots and your yoga pants
on. They tuck in really well.
It's not even terrain out there. Hello, it's a stone field. You need something you can move around in.
I didn't know there was a dress code for protecting land.
Anyway, so. I could talk about Ihu Mata all day. That's I could great. Do its own podcast series.
Phenomenal.
There's so much involved, but...
I think it's safe to say Apania Newton is big time Kia ora Queenie.
She really is.
This month.
In fact, all people in yoga pants. But but particularly Apania.
Yeah. Wear your comfortable clothes and change the world, everybody.
Yes, please.
That's your campaign slogan.
I love it. Sounds like you're trying to get into politics now.
Angling for a job in politics.
Let's quickly plough through some sports news. Because this is...
Now sports.
While we're here, 1 in 8 men think they'd win a point against Serena Williams. So that's cool.
Wow.
1 in 8 men reckon
we have,
a point.
Do we have 8 men in our office? We do, don't we?
Yeah.
Who is it? I wonder who would think that they could score a point against Serena Williams. I'm guessing Simon Day.
I'm guessing Simon Day too.
Love you, Si.
It's so fucking funny, isn't it?
It's so good. A survey in the UK found that 12% of men were confident they could face up against a 23-time Grand Slam winner and former world number one in a match and win a point
That's
against
amazing.
Her. It's just amazing. That's kind of it. Just good to laugh about that.
This is a great new rule for life. Just whoever you are, whatever gender you are, live your life with the confidence
of a mediocre.
Of a man who thinks, with no tennis background, who thinks he can score a point against Serena Williams. And you'll be fine.
A man doing a survey.
I loved it. In the response, somebody said that they quite like to turn this into a TV series. Regular cocky dude versus woman who is expert in her field.
Oh my God. That would be amazing. But you know that people would just accuse the editing of leaving out all the men who succeeded.
True. Sure. Yeah.
Even if there weren't any.
It's rigged.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's just hilarious. There's also another, a kind of, I feel bad. I find this kind of funny. I know that it's like from a good place and it's for a good cause, but the suggested name change in Wellington to change the Basin Reserve to the Support Women Sport Basin Reserve.
It was supposed to be. Do you think it was? It should have been funnier. It should have been bitches play good sport too, Basin Reserve. It should
pay
have
the
been,
gals, Basin Reserve.
Or just named after an amazing.
Or an amazing human.
Women athlete, maybe.
That would be great. That would be really good.
I don't want to like shit on the good intentions behind this. And I mean, this news was a little while ago now, so I don't know where they even got with it. But I'm not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan. It's a terrible name. Who's going to pop down to the Support Women's Sport Basin Reserve? Nobody's going to do that. Yeah. I go down to the Farrah Palmer Basin Reserve.
Yeah, or the Yvette Williams Basin Reserve. Or maybe you could just put $100,000 into women's sports.
That would be nice. Or maybe, split it up amongst the Silver Ferns who won a World Cup and didn't get any prize money, as opposed to the Black Caps who came second and got fucking $3 million.
Boo. I don't know.
But yeah, maybe it's guerrilla marketing, you know?
Yeah.
They've got everyone talking about it.
Sure.
They've got everyone, and now
I think that's what it is.
We're thinking about it.
I just think they should have got some better advice on something hilarious to really make the
point.
We
might be missing something. I don't know. Maybe we're missing, like you said, they got everyone talking.
I don't want to sound arrogant, but I think if all three of us miss it, it's probably not there.
But we support the movement to
support women's sport.
Yes, we support women's sport. We support women's sport.
Just not that particular name.
Just not the naming bit.
Yeah. But hey, they got everyone saying women's sport for a couple of days. So
true. It was probably trending somewhere.
That's something. I think just because I'm conscious of our time, I just want to briefly talk about peeing in space because I don't know. Just really briefly. It was just a hilarious thread. It was a Twitter thread that I saw on Facebook. Someone had posted the screenshots of it on Facebook. And it was all about how for a long time they basically thought they couldn't send women to space because we didn't have the technology for them to pee.
That's right.
Send someone to, to space. That technology is available. But the peeing technology is not.
And then it talks about the it talks about some of the early, like, they hadn't really even thought about peeing at all at first. This guy got up to space and then he's like, oh, God, I need to go. So he weed himself and he was just weeing himself in space. And then they were like, I know what we can do. We'll make, like, a condom that they could wear like a sheath and they can just wee into that. But they realised, you know, once they put it into action, they went into space with their sheaths on. The sheaths kept blowing off. So they kept ended up just peeing in their suits. And then they realised that it's because the sheaths came in small, medium and large, and all the men said they needed a large.
Wow.
So they were just loosey-goosey. Oh. And subsequently, they renamed the sheaths extra large, immense, and unbelievable.
No.
So they wouldn't have to feel bad about choosing the smaller size.
I have a large penis, and I could win a point against Serena Williams is pretty much a definition of a man.
But yeah, there's a whole bunch more. There's a whole bunch more.
It's fantastic. The bit that stays with me is that if you poo in space with no gravity, you have to snap it off yourself with special gloves because it's the gravity that makes the poo leave. It would follow you like a tail and with no gravity. So that's the part of the story that I have kept.
You would be like a fish, Tina.
Yeah, fish.
Yeah, you always say
that's
that.
That's right,
don't
the fish
you?
Swimming around with a poo hanging out the back. Yeah.
How embarrassing. Yeah. Not for me, thanks. I don't think I'll be an astronaut.
Yeah. Also, thank you, gravity. Thanks for sorting that out for us.
Big respect to gravity. Should we quickly whip around our watch/reads of the month?
Yes.
What have you got?
I've been reading Marilyn Waring's update of Counting for Nothing, which is called Still Counting, which is a great big middle finger to New Zealand Treasury for their suggested formula for measuring well-being in New Zealand. So it's a serious read. And also alongside that, I read Past Caring, which is a collection of essays by academics and philosophers and anthropologists in New Zealand about the work that women do that we don't get paid for, the caring work that we do. And there's an amazing, there's a fantastic chapter in there about the New Zealand film industry and how women have been portrayed, which really I don't have time to probably explain properly, but we talk a lot about how the New Zealand film industry has had a recurring theme of man alone. But it also, if you look at the kind of movies that we've made, we also have a theme of mother alone. Women trying to hold together families outside of the normal patriarchal constructs. And, which was a revelation to me because as soon as you say that, you go, of course, that is what we, you know, going up north and Smash Palace, you know, the other half of Smash Palace is about a woman trying to survive a violent relationship and be with her child, hold the family together. It's millions of films. So we have thank you, Gaylene Preston and Meritamita, I guess, in lots of ways. You know, women who have made documentaries and films that really look at, how women survive outside of patriarchal constructs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that wasn't incredibly articulate, but pick the book up and have a look at that chapter.
Amazing. Yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
Really, really good.
And I've been watching Funny As, the documentary about New Zealand comedy, which is great on Sundays.
Is she in it?
The first episode was about women in comedy, and a lot of people were going, why is the first episode about women? And to which I said, why the fuck shouldn't it be? So there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I haven't watched any of that yet, but I'm keen.
It's really keen good. It's actually really good. I'm not saying that because my face turns up. I'm learning heaps. It's fucking amazing.
Love it.
What about you, Leonie?
I've been reading a book called Kill All Normies. It's about like a I think the subtitle is like online culture wars. I do know it's online culture wars from 4chan and Tumblr to Trump and the alt-right. So it's sort of like it's written by a woman called Angela Nagel or Nagel, who's an academic. She's younger than I am, I guess.
I hate that.
Yeah, I know. but it's really interesting. It's sort of looking at, I haven't finished it, I'm about halfway through, but one of the parts that I found most interesting was the direct correlation between Gamergate and the rise of the alt-right. Like I had just sort of assumed that they were basically just part of the same sort of terrible online culture that radicalizes young men into hateful beings, but she actually draws these really clear lines from Gamergate being something that radicalized young men into misogyny, them becoming alt-righters.
Oh, so it's so like it was an actual
catalyst.
Point.
Yeah, like a catalyst for the alt-right movement online. And yeah. It's like a really interesting look at. So she talks about alt-right and alt-light. And the alt-light movement is more the people who think they're being ironic, they're not sort of in it to hurt anyone, even though the kinds of discussions that they're having and the rhetoric that they spout is like disgusting and harmful and awful, and sort of finding where the alt-light turned into the alt-right and women actually started being murdered and raped and threatened and assaulted. And so, yeah, it's super interesting. It doesn't just look at Gamergate and the effect on women and marginalised cultures. But it sort of talks about Trump and all that sort of stuff as well. But it's really, really interesting.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds so fascinating.
Good and terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm reading also a book that is, I don't even know if I want to say it's good. It's called Missoula, Rape and the Justice System in a College Town by John Krakauer. And it is like the most harrowing, upsetting, beautifully written, just shocking book I have ever read in my whole life about, it's sort of about kind of the college football team in a series. It's all true. It's like just a big, long nonfiction series of essays from this town and this place and just this completely broken system and all these women who have been left picking up the pieces within this kind of college campus rape culture of this horrible football team and a horrible drinking culture and a horrible, horrible town. So it's not a light read. I'm slowly working my way through it. I have to put it down often. But it's some of the most powerful in terms of like the reporting and the writing is just like, yeah. It's like nothing else I've ever read before. So I highly, highly recommend that if that's something that you think you're up for reading because it's not a walk in the park for the old brain. But, I think sometimes you just got to get in the zone and read it for 10 minutes and then go do something else. But I also wanted to talk very briefly. I know we have to go about the Aziz Ansari comedy special on Netflix. Have you watched it?
I have not.
I have not either.
I just watched it out of curiosity. I don't like love Aziz Ansari that much. And I wanted to see how he would address, you know, the allegations that came out about him in the sort of post-Me Too wave of articles. And, I mean, at the very least, he kind of front-foots it right at the start of the special and kind of does one of those half-apologies a little bit and then sort of does it in a very serious, like, whispering voice like this. Like, it feels very rehearsed. And it's all kind of fine. Up until that point, I was like, you know, good on you. At least he sort of seems to have learned lots from it and talks about it quite reflectively. But then he goes on for, like, a 10-minute tirade about PC culture right after that.
Ugh.
And you know, like, a very weird, what seems like an unlike him kind of point of view about online culture and like people
being too sensitive.
And I was like, oh, so close.
so close.
So yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting. I didn't get all the way through it. After that, I was kind of like, oh, okay, it's all right. Yeah. It's all right, man.
You just would think that somebody like that who'd been accused of being sexually predatory might get a woman they trusted to have a really fucking close look at their next piece of work and offer some advice. Like pay her to be a consultant, but just get someone to look it over. would be a great idea.
Make sure a whole section doesn't just, you know, totally undermine the apology you just gave.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Oh, well, he had a go. Good on you, love.
Yeah. And, you know, he'll be fine. That's the other thing.
Like, he will continue to be rich and popular.
Absolutely.
It'll be just fine.
Exactly. What about the Kia ora Queenie of the Month? Have we got some other women we'd like to give a boost before we go?
I'm throwing all of my energy and weight behind Pania Newton and yoga pants in general, but particularly Pania.
That is obviously my Kia ora Queenie, but I'm going to take Pania's own cue, and actually my Kia ora Queenie plural is all the people out there who are making the sandwiches and driving the shuttle buses and cleaning the paru as toilets and doing all the work on the ground. And they're the people that are holding the movement out at Ihumato together. So you are all my Kia ora Queenies. Yes.
Kia ora.
Kia ora Queenie. I was going to nominate mine, but it feels trite.
Doesn't matter. Just tell us.
Do it. We love trite.
Her name is Maura from Heartbreak Island. Not Heartbreak Island, Love Island. Love Island UK has wrapped up now, but Maura was an absolute hurricane. She's an Irish woman who had she was incredibly sexually confident, had the filthiest mouth. Like, sounds, if you imagine Noelle McCarthy saying the filthiest stuff.
Oh, I can.
That's Maura. So unapologetic. She didn't take anybody's shit. All the fucking sleazy, cheating, filthy boys in that house, she tore them to shreds every time. She backed up all the women in the house to the bitter end, even when they felt like they were going crazy. She was just a fucking revelation. And Maura Higgins, you didn't win, but you won in my heart. Kia ora, Queenie.
Kia ora, Maura.
I like her already.
And that's us for July. Thanks for sticking around. Sorry we went over time again. But
just making up for missing out last month.
Just making up for lost time. Thank you to the Women's Bookshop for supporting us. Please go buy a book from them. Say hi. Say On the Rag sent you. They make this podcast happen, so
we love them.
We love them very, very much. And thank you, Tina, our lovely producer, for recording
this.
Tina Ballerina. Go watch On the Rag web series. Go do all the things and wear your yoga pants while you're doing them.
Yes.
All right, we'll see you next month.
Ka kite anō.
Bye.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.